Well, every year I get one. I either get it for my birthday or I get it at Christmas time from someone in my family. What is it? It's that year's Guinness Book of World Records. I've got a collection of them spanning back, I reckon, about since I was 15. So you can put the sums together and do your own guesswork. I'm not going to add any more to that, because that collection's getting bigger than I'd like it to get. Closer to 50 I am than I was. But I find them fascinating. Why do I find them fascinating? Because I discover the greatest and the fastest and the highest. I discover who and what stands alone above all else in the world, with all kinds of random things like who piggybacks someone on their shoulders for the longest period of, for the longest distance, who juggles things here and there, who eats all kinds of strange things the quickest, and much more random things. But today, we begin a series on what's so special about Jesus. Why is it that this man who lived over 2,000 years ago stands alone, and he does stand alone, above everyone else who has ever lived? Our church vision centres around finding and following Jesus. But the reality is, in the world around us, many want to downplay what's so special about Jesus. Many want to reduce Jesus to just being one of many and varied options and opinions about life and faith. But Jesus does stand alone as unique. And we're going to look at that over the next month, leading up to and into Easter. We're going to look at why that is. Why is it that we can have confidence in the fact that Jesus stands alone as unique as we focus on the four building blocks on which the Christian faith stands? Today we begin with what's so special about Jesus' birth. Now, you probably didn't expect to come to church hearing about Jesus' birth today. Christmas in, not July, but Christmas in March. But I'll explain why we're going to look at that in a moment. Next week, Will Farrer, one of our young adults, is going to speak on what's so special about Jesus' life. And then the week before Easter, I'll speak about what's so special about Jesus' death. And we will finish with what's so special about Jesus' resurrection on Easter Sunday. Jesus' birth, as I said, rarely gets spoken about other than Christmas. But it should be. Why? Because it is at the heart of what's so special about Jesus and the Christian faith. Along with Jesus' life, his death and his resurrection, we cannot just pick and choose seasons for the different things that are special about Jesus. We cannot just say, well, we'll talk about this at Christmas and we'll talk about this at Easter. No, they actually all weave together. And we can't say, I accept this part about Jesus that's special, but I'm not so sure about this part. They all stand or fall together as a whole. The story of Jesus is like a seamless garment woven together as unique. Take out what's so special about one part and you might as well have ripped the whole to shreds. And Matthew makes it clear in the reading that Evie read so beautifully what is so special about Jesus' birth. And firstly, the process that Jesus' birth followed is so special compared to any other birth in history. Matthew says it three times, not just once, but three times in eight verses. In verse 18, he says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Verse 20 repeats it. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And then once, twice, three times, verse 25, he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. We've moved over the years a few different times, and so we've had a few different doctors, and when once asked about our family medical history by a doctor who did not know anything about our family at that stage, Michelle said this: I've had children three different ways. The doctor looked at her like, well, I haven't quite come across someone like this before. What on earth is this woman talking about? And then she said, our oldest was born naturally, second child by cesarean, and the third by adoption. But Jesus' birth was something altogether again. Born to a virgin, born without a man and a woman having had sexual relations, but instead, as described here by God, conceived by the Holy Spirit. And in Luke's version of this, in Luke chapter 1, in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 1, verse 35, it puts it like this. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." The power of the Most High will overshadow you. This word overshadow actually speaks of the direct and the personal presence and power of God in a way that creates human life. Just like even you go right back to the beginning of Genesis, at the beginning of time, God would create life as the Spirit of God did what? And it's described in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, as the Spirit of God hovered or overshadowed the waters, it says. And out of that, life would come. And here, in Jesus' birth, it's described in the same way. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So just as God created life right back at the beginning of time, God is creating life here. In a way that we don't fully understand, in a way that we can't fully explain, and yet in a personal and all-powerful way. The process that Jesus' birth followed has been unlike any other birth before or after Jesus. It was a God thing. Like I said, we can never fully understand it from a human perspective. It is over and above and beyond natural processes for human birth. What does the word supernatural mean? It means anything that pertains to or is caused by something that cannot be explained by the laws of nature. And the virgin birth of Jesus was exactly that. It was a supernatural miracle that I can't explain, that you can't explain, other than being a God thing, which is exactly what it was. It was not a part of natural human laws and processes. It was a supernatural thing. Yes, it seems improbable. It seems even impossible from a human perspective. But let me say this, nothing is improbable or impossible for the God who made the universe and the God who even made the laws of nature. The fact that Jesus' birth was no ordinary birth actually reinforces that Jesus was no ordinary person, but that he stands alone as unique. The process that Jesus' birth followed is unique and special. The second special thing about Jesus' birth is the purpose that it flowed out of, as we look at what else Matthew says here in verse 21. This is what in verse 21, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. People can have all kinds of different reasons for bringing a child into the world. Some of them are good reasons, some of them are not so good reasons. But in Bible times, having an heir or having someone to carry on the family line was considered to be an important part of bringing a child into the world, an important reason to do so. But Jesus' birth was not just about that. Jesus' birth, as it says here, what it flowed out of, the reason or the purpose that it flowed out of, was to save his people from their sins. Let's unpack that a little more. That means Jesus was born because you and I and everyone else who has ever lived have an issue bigger than any other issue we will ever have, and that is the sin issue. The sin issue affects everything about us. The sin issue separates us not only from God but from others. The sin issue is the cause of what's wrong in our world today. And as Romans chapter 3 says, no one's exempt from it. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And as much as we might try to deal with the sin issue ourselves, we can't. Only someone who is without sin can save us from our sins. And that is why Jesus was born as he was. There's a difference between us, everyone who's ever lived, and Jesus in our births. Because when we are born, we are all born with a sinful nature. All of us, no exceptions. That's the reality. Those of you who are parents of younger children, you will know all too well
And those of you who are grandparents or just in life, you'll know all too well that that child that you love dearly has an inbuilt inclination to do what is wrong in and of themselves. It's true of every person. We have a natural inbuilt inclination. Our default option is to do what is wrong. Why? Because we have an inbuilt sinful nature. But Jesus' birth was different. He was born without a sinful nature. He was born not in the line of Adam with a human father, but he was born of God. He was born sinless so that he could do what? So that he could save us from our sins. As it says here in Matthew, and as Galatians also describes it, as you go further into the New Testament, in Galatians chapter 4, it's described there in this way, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. It is only because Jesus was born as he was that any of us are able to have the broken nature of our lives because of sin, the damaged nature of our lives because of sin, redeemed and restored again, to be in right relationship with God. That is why the birth of Jesus is so special. Not just his life and his death and his resurrection, but his birth. If he was born just like one of us, then he could not save us from our sins. But thirdly, the birth of Jesus is so special because of the predictions that it fulfilled. And Matthew talks about this too. In verse 22 and 23, he describes it this way. All this took place to what? To fulfill what the prophet Isaiah, the Lord, had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Before I became a pastor, I used to work in numbers. My degree was in predicting the likelihood of things. I worked in the actuarial and insurance industry, and what the bread and butter of what I did was to predict from a financial perspective what the likelihood of things happening. And when it comes to Jesus' birth, it did not just happen. It was not just some random event that suddenly just lobbed in history. No. The details of it were actually predicted hundreds and thousands of years before. They were such as what we've just read from Matthew, who's quoting the prophet Isaiah. He spoke about 750 years earlier. And Micah, in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, also speaks predicting the town of Bethlehem and details of Jesus' birth. Jesus' birth was so special that God gave pointers to it down through history. And these pointers that God gave were not vague or cryptic clues, but they were clear and specific predictions, 100% of which came to be exactly as predicted. Now, I put on my statistical hat, the likelihood or the odds or the probabilities in statistical terms of what was predicted coming true as they did with Jesus, that was predicted hundreds and thousands of years before, and the nature of them, the likelihood or the odds or the probabilities of them coming to be as they did is 1 in 100 million billion. Not 1 in 1 billion, not 1 in 100 billion, but 1 in 100 million billion. Again, only possible because Jesus' birth was a God thing, unique amongst all the other births that have ever been. The birth of Jesus, so special because it fulfilled what was predicted about it, because it followed a process that was unlike any other birth that's ever been before or after, because the purpose of Jesus' birth, again, was for a reason different to anyone else. But finally, the birth of Jesus is so special because of the presence that it brought about. Verse 23, the virgin will conceive and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. The presence of a child in someone's life makes such a difference to people's world. Life is never the same again when there's a child born. And that is true of any child born. But it is true above all in the birth of Jesus. Jesus' birth changed the course of history. Jesus' birth involved the presence of God in human form, Emmanuel, God with us. The Creator God could be seen. The Creator God could be touched. The Creator God could be spoken with like never before. And still today, God is not at a distance, but God is with us. God is in the midst of our lives. God is making a very real difference to life because of his presence. And Jesus' birth was the beginning of that presence of God like never, ever before. The birth of Jesus is so special. In a historical sense, yes, as a defining point in history. In a theological sense, yes, because it underpins our faith. But also in a personal sense. Jesus' birth was a new birth. It was a birth, like I said, that was unlike any other. One like never before. But because of Jesus' birth, you and I can experience a new birth too. John describes it like this. In John's Gospel, chapter 3, this is what John says when we read of the question that was asked. There was a Pharisee. There was a man named Nicodemus who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who's come from God." So this man acknowledged that there was something special and something different about Jesus. "For no one could perform the signs you were doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Nicodemus said, "How can someone be born when they are old? Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you," no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. As we close, it's important to recognize not just the historical nature of the special nature of Jesus' birth and the theological nature of it, yes, but the personal nature of it. Have you been born again by the Spirit of God, as John describes? Have you been born from above? Have you experienced new birth because of the specialness and the uniqueness of Jesus' birth? Has your sinful nature been dealt with through the one who was born without sin, Jesus? Because more important even than us accepting the birth of Jesus and all it means in our heads is us accepting it and all that it means in our hearts. That we respond personally to it. And that we ensure that we have been born again or given new life by the one who was born like no one else. Let's bow our heads as we consider whether the impact of the birth of Jesus has reached right down into our hearts. This morning, all of us have to consider, have we dealt with the sin issue, life's most damaging issue, life's most destructive issue to deal with and life's most important issue to deal with? Have you dealt with the sin issue in your life? We cannot deal with it by ourselves. We have to ask Jesus to deal with it. And we do that through this new birth, this being born again, this new life that Jesus offers to us. And if that is something that is not filtered down into your heart and reached your heart, then I invite you this morning just to pray in your heart with me. Jesus, thank you that you were born to save me from my sin. Thank you that you came to earth and were born like no one else for the very purpose of dealing with the sin issue in my life. Thank you that you went on to live and die on the cross, yes, and rise again. I admit that I need your help. I ask for your help. I accept all that you've done for me. And I put my trust in you. I respond to you and all that you've done for me. Amen. Thank you, God, for your presence with us, all of us. Thank you that you are God with us. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your incredible power, God, that made possible what does not seem possible from a human perspective, to do a God thing, a supernatural thing in your birth and in the new birth and the new life that you give to all of us if we receive it as well. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, that you stand alone above all others as unique and special. Thank you for all that you are. Thank you for all that you've done and for all that you make possible. You truly are the cornerstone of life and the cornerstone of faith. Help us to anchor afresh in you, or to anchor in you for the first time, and to know all, and out of that, to know your very best for us in our lives. And we ask this in the all-powerful, the all-wonderful, the all-loving, the all-gracious name of Jesus. Jesus, who's our Saviour and who's our King. In his name we pray. Amen.